Yeah, we've just gone through a really important period in all of human history. The Passover has just passed. It's important for us to remember what that Passover signified. And I think it's important, especially in terms of what's going on in the world around us. Romans, the 13th chapter, the apostle explains that in reality, government has been created by God to be his minister, a minister of good to us. Sometimes that's not what government does. I think one of the most oppressive governments that's ever existed was the government of the pharaohs in Egypt. Israel had been enslaved. They were forced to build buildings to the glory of the pharaoh. First, they had mud mingled with straw, and that's a pretty good building material. It lasts almost indefinitely if you're in that part of the world. And then because the children of Israel were multiplying, because the number of slaves were beginning to outnumber even the number of the Egyptians, they decided that they were going to beat them down. And they took away the straw. God listened. God heard what was going on. And we're familiar with the Passover. God said, I'm going to lead my people out of Egypt. I'm going to free them. This oppressive government, as powerful as it looks, is not nearly as powerful as it thinks it is. And I'm going to lead my people out. The Passover was a reminder of that. Eventually, God had to kill all the firstborn of the Egyptians. He preserved the Israelites with the blood of the lamb that was spread on the lintels and the doorposts of their houses. And that's what Passover reminds us of. Passover is important because it's a demonstration of the sovereignty of God. There's great evil in the world. It was true then. It was true during the Babylonian period. It was true during the Roman period. It was true. Well, it's just always been true. It's still true today. There is great evil in the world. And what we're going to see this morning is that that evil might be perpetrated by Satan himself. And it might be that that evil is perpetrated by people who Satan empowers to do that great evil. Satan has power in world governments. He always has, and I'm convinced that he still does. Maybe not miraculous power, but he still has the right to empower evil men to do evil. We see a glimpse of that when Jesus is being tempted. He's led up by the Spirit into the wilderness shortly following his baptism by John. And in Luke 4, beginning at verse 7, it talks about Satan leading him up, probably on a high place. And he shows him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. The devil said to Jesus, to thee will I give all this authority and the glory of them. For it hath been delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore wilt worship before me, it shall all be thine. Well, we know what the temptation was for Jesus to fall down and worship Satan. But the point that I want you to see is Satan had the right to give all the kingdoms of the world at his decision. Satan is an enemy of such great power. The Bible describes Satan in different ways. In John, the 12th chapter, beginning at verse 31, he's called the prince of this world. Now is the judgment, John says, of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And it's a reference to Satan. John, the 14th chapter. Jesus says to his disciples as he approaches death, he says, I'll no more speak much with you. The prince of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. He's coming, and he's going to put me to death. John, the 16th chapter, verse 11, the prince of this world hath been judged. Satan is the prince of this world. He's the god of this world. He's the animating force behind much of what happens in this world right now. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, beginning at verse 3. The Apostle Paul explains that this way. He says, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled in them that perish, in whom the god of this world has blinded the mind of the unbelieving, that the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should not dawn upon them. There are people who envision only evil. And that's because Satan appears as the god of this world. If he is the god of this world. Everywhere they look, they see opportunity not to do good, but to do evil. He is the prince of the power of the air. Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, beginning at verse 1. The apostle talks about what's happened to us, those of us who have come to serve God. He says, you he did make alive when you were dead in your trespasses and your sins, wherein you once walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the powers of the air, the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience. I used to think that was all there was. And I used to walk that way, believing that that's all there was. I acted like that's what I believed. I followed the prince of the power of the air. Now, the apostle says we've been released from that, but not everyone has been. And so the prince of the power of the air still exercises great influence in this world on those people that see only evil. He is Satan. is the world ruler over this darkness. Paul says, our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world ruler of this darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. We fight against it. And it is difficult. It is not an imaginary force. It is a real force. He really is the ruler of this world. And we need to take Satan seriously. We need to know how powerful he is. And what that means is we should recognize and give Satan credit for all that he has done. Killing 8 million Jews in Hitler's Holocaust. Now, Hitler did it. Satan empowered it. Yes, he gets the credit for that. He is powerful. Destroying the World Trade Center on 9/11 by agents of ISIS. 2,000 people killed. And you know, just this week, I'm seeing images of buildings being destroyed in Ukraine. People who are standing in line to get food after they've been told that the food will be made available are senselessly gunned down. Shells are lobbed into buildings that are filled with children. Yes, Satan gets credit. You want to be on Satan's side, then be on Satan's side and understand what that means. This is what you root for. Shells fall on innocent children and you stand up and say, go get them, Satan. I don't want to be on that side. Amen. Rest assured, our sovereign God never bows in the face of Satan. He never is defeated. When Jesus went to the cross, it looked like Satan and his people were ruling the world. They could put to death Jesus. Nations rose up against him. And yes, they killed him. They did not defeat him. They did not cause him to bow, and they will not cause us to bow. Well, what made me think about this? I was reading this in a book, The Moment of Tragedy and Evil. And this is a book that was written shortly after 9/11. The Moment of Tragedy and of Evil shone its own light on the church, and what we came to see was not a happy sight. What has become conspicuous by its scarcity, and not least in the evangelical corner of it, is spiritual gravitas. One which could match the depth of the horrendous evil and address issues of such seriousness. Evangelicalism, now much absorbed by the arts and tricks of marketing, is just simply not very serious anymore. In other words, we've been talking about fun God. We've been talking about feel-good God. And the God that we spend so much time talking about can't hold a hurricane in his hand. He cannot stand in front of ISIS. He cannot stand in front of Saddam Hussein and say, this far and no farther. But the God of the Bible can. He is sovereign. He will win this battle. And frankly, brethren, I want to be on his side. I am so glad that I get to root for his team.